I just wanted to share something else. Just if you missed the welcome at the start, welcome. And welcome to those who are online as well. So it's great that we're here. If you're visiting with us, a special welcome too. We're so glad that you're here. And just as I was thinking actually about conference, there was something that I wrote down in my book. I didn't share this last week. One of the pastors who was up speaking said this: the tide is moving. And I don't know if you remember November last year. Remember November last year? That rhymes. Hadn't planned to say it that way. There you go. I shared a message in the church, which was off the back of what I felt God was saying to me and what God had been confirming, that the tide, this is what I wrote down, actually. There's a change in the tide. Don't fret if there's slack water. It's about to flow in a different direction. That's what I said. And I felt that. Well, I felt that was confirmed by other people. I was at different things, and I think about two or three occasions since I felt God said that to me, that it was confirmed leading up to the weekend. And Pete Anderson, who was on the video there, who's a good friend, and he's been in our church, and he shared with the men in our church as well. I shared it with Pete, and I said, Pete, I really feel this is a prophetic word for the church. Not just for our church, but for the church across our area. And he listened to the word, and he listened to the message that day, and he got back in touch, and he said, I really feel that it is a prophetic word. And when we were at conference, to hear somebody say the tide is moving was really interesting for me. And another two occasions over conference, people talked about the tide and how it was changing. And so really, that I feel is important. And just as I was preparing my heart for this morning to come to church, I just spent a little bit of moment in quietness and just asking God to fill my heart with whatever he wanted to say to me this morning as we prepared to come together. And the picture that I had was of boats sitting in the harbour. Have you ever been at the harbour where you see the boats and they're tied to the harbour and you see these ropes going down, and here are the boats that are actually sitting in the mud? Do you know what I'm, can you picture what I'm talking about? The boats are sitting in the mud. If you try to move that boat, it's not going to go anywhere. It's stuck in the mud. But when the tide comes in, the boats begin to lift out of the mud, and then they're able to move freely. And I feel that as a church, we've been in a season where we've kind of felt like, not this church per se, but just the church in general in our nation, we've been in a place where we've kind of felt like we're kind of stuck in the mud and we're not able to move very freely. Everything's an effort. Everything's hard work. And I really felt that the picture that I had this morning was of the tide coming in and the boats beginning to lift. And I feel that's where we're heading as a church and our nation. And I want to encourage us to engage with prayer on the 31st of May. It's at 7:45. It's for an hour and a quarter. It doesn't last any longer than that. It's a no-pressure environment. But to be there on Zoom with another, dear knows how many other hundreds of people, I hope that it's filled, will be an incredible experience. And it's part of what God is doing. God is stirring up the church to pray. And we need to respond to this. I don't know how else to say this, folks. I don't know how else to say it. We need to respond to what God is doing. We need to respond to the call to pray. We need to do it. And as we respond to what God is saying, as we respond to that call, then God is able to move. He can't move with us if we're stuck in the mud, right? God's expecting us to respond and to move too. And so I just want to encourage us to think about this, to think about our role. You might think today, well, I can't do very much. I'm not very important. I'm never up front. God has a plan for every single person who's in this room today. God has a purpose for your life. God is able to use you in ways that you could never imagine, as long as you just surrendered yourself to him. And so I've not even got to my message yet, my goodness, which was going to be the gifts of the Spirit. I'm feeling like going in a different direction, but I'm going to stick to the plan today. And we're going to think for just a few moments about the gift of the Spirit. And it's really just an introductory message there. It says 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to chapter 14. We're not going to read all those chapters, so just be assured of that. But I am going to read just a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is what it says. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. And that's what we're going to think about this morning, the gifts of the Spirit. So this is part one of a couple of messages, and it's difficult to cover a lot of ground on this subject quickly, but this is part one. And Paul opens up, if you read 1 Corinthians 12, Paul opens up by saying that he didn't want the people in the church in Corinth to be ignorant. And these were people who were already practicing the gifts of the Spirit. They were already moving in the gifts of the Spirit. But for them, it was more about how to use the gifts and how to flow in that. And the Holy Spirit saw to it that these words have been preserved through the centuries so that we too are not ignorant. Think about this. What we're reading, these words have been around for hundreds of years, preserved. Preserved through difficult times, preserved by people who've tried to destroy the Bible over the centuries by burning books and doing all sorts of things, and yet the Word of God still remains. It's incredible. Did you know that if every Bible in the whole world today was destroyed, I think probably 99.99999% of it could be reconstructed just by quotes and by other sources. Though the Word of God has been, people have tried to destroy it, it still exists, and it exists for our good, and we need to use it in accordance with the Holy Spirit's direction. The Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed, and at the point in time when that was said, it was talking about the Old Testament, but it's all of the Scriptures that are God-breathed, I believe, even the New Testament. And I want to just recommend a wee book to you. So it's by a man called Donald G. It's called Concerning Spiritual Gifts, which will give more information on this subject. It's a good book. He's one of our Assemblies of God pioneers. And it's interesting what he said in his book. It's surely a serious thing to accuse God of withdrawing these gifts if the real fact is that the church lost them through lukewarmness. Incredible, eh? So let's seek after the gifts. There are nine manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit that we thought about last week, love, joy, peace, patience, and all those things, which we read about in Galatians 5. There are nine gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12. I want to just make a distinction here. I want us to grasp something here. God breathes on our very being and our natural gifts, strengths, skills, and talents can be redeemed by His glory. Does that make sense? When God breathes on who we are, He can take what we are and He can use it for His good and His kingdom, and He can make it even better. But rather than the skills and talent, rather than the Holy Spirit energizing and redeeming what's already inside us, the gifts that we're going to talk about today and over next week come from outside of us. It's not who we are inside. It's not resident within us. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives us so that the Holy Spirit can be seen and that the church can be built up. So they come from outside of us. The gifts of the Spirit are not to be confused with talents, which are innate within us, or strengths which are part of who we are. Maybe we could stop and say a prayer. Because honestly, I'm struggling today. I'm struggling to speak. And I feel that what I've got to say is important. So can I just hit the pause button for a wee second and pray? Because I'm even struggling to read my notes today. Father, I'm praying again for your peace in this service today. I'm praying for your peace over my voice and my heart and my mind and upon the hearts and minds of every person in this place today. Father, we pray for your peace just to descend in this place. And Lord, we pray that we would hear what the Spirit wants to say to us in this place today. Lord, these things are important because the gifts of the Spirit are to build the church up. And Lord, we want to see the church being strong and built up. So Father, we just pray, may our hearts be open to what you want to speak into our hearts today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Okay. It's good to hit the reset button through praying. So I feel that's what we've done today. Talents, strengths, skills can be learned. And there are people in our world today who have got incredible talent, who have got immense strengths, and who have got immense skills as well. Loads of people in our world, and they're making lots of money because of it. But if they don't have the Holy Spirit, what are they creating? Something for themselves. We can use these things in the church, but what I want to suggest today is that the Holy Spirit comes and he does something in his church that only he can do. And today I want us to just think back to last week when we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Spiritual fruit is a manifestation of kingdom principles. Love, for God is love. Joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. They're manifestations of kingdom principles. However, the gifts of the Spirit are a manifestation of kingdom power. And the church is in need of power today. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I look at the church today and I think the church needs a good dose of power. Because the church over time has been weakened for various reasons. And so the church needs power. We need a manifestation of kingdom power in the church. Now, just to go through some ways that Paul uses to describe the gifts that we're talking about today. The first thing in 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul's talking about spiritual gifts, and the more direct translation is he's talking about the spirituals, okay? Spiritual gifts, and the proper translation is the spirituals. Now, concerning the spirituals, these are endowments to the church gifted or bequeathed by the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't you love it if somebody just came along to you and said, by the way, somebody's left £10,000 to you? How would you feel? You'd be like, yeah, beauty. That's exactly what I need right now. Gifted to you, bequeathed to you. But what we're talking about here is something far more valuable than £10,000. It's what the Holy Spirit can deposit into our hearts. He also talks about the grace gifts, charis, 1 Corinthians 12:4 talks about these gifts of God's grace. They're given by the Holy Spirit. They're not from within us. They're given to us, and then they find expression through us. And then the last term that Paul uses before he goes on to list the gifts is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So it's how the Holy Spirit can be seen in the church in power. And they bring that revelation of who God is. Do you know, the early church experienced power, then they experienced persecution. Could you imagine a church that was experiencing persecution that didn't have power? Think about the upper room before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, where they were locked away for fear of the Jews and for fear of the Romans and for fear of absolutely everybody. And that's what the church looked like without power. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the church received power. And then after that, persecution came. And the church was able to stand and withstand persecution because it had power. The church today needs power. There are people across the world who are being persecuted for the faith in ways that we can't imagine. And they need power. We can't do that without power. I don't want that. I don't want to be in a church that's a powerless church. And so we need not to be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. And we need a fresh manifestation of the Spirit's power in the church. I suggested that we need to read three chapters of Scripture to get the whole picture of what Paul is talking about. And just to break those down, spiritual gifts are already in operation in Corinth. Paul is trying to bring greater understanding of the power that is operated through their gifts and their proper use. And so that's what that little section is about. Then he goes on to talk about the church being a body, which is made up of many parts, all unique, and the Holy Spirit needs to be at work in every part of the body, and it needs to be functioning together. And then he goes on to talk about the excellency of love, and really it's a key in all of the things that Paul is saying here. He's saying you can have all the spiritual gifts in the world you like, but if you don't have love, you amount to nothing. And what I was saying last week was, it doesn't matter how gifted you are, the manifestation of the kingdom principles, the mark of Christian maturity, is whether or not we have love, whether or not we have joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, not just when it's all going well, but when it's not going well too, and we see the kingdom principles being exhibited in our life. And so Paul's drawn the Corinthians round to say, you know, we can talk about gifts, we can talk about a body, but unless we have love, unless we demonstrate that, unless we live that, then we amount to not very much. And then he goes on to talk about the difference and distinguish between prophecy and tongues, and there seems to be this big debate about how this should be used, and Paul brings clarity to that, because remember, he doesn't want the church to be ignorant. And then the last thing is that he talks about orderly worship. There needs to be orderly worship, not chaos, not confusion. And I wish we could get into all these things, but in a sermon, which is, and my time's almost finished and I've not even started, how do you begin talking about all these things? We need to study them for ourselves. And I want to suggest that you take your Bible and you open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and you read it slowly and you pray, Lord, show me what I need to see in the scriptures today. Read 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. And if you've got any questions, come and ask and we'll happily answer those questions. But what we need to just grasp today is that the gifts of the Spirit are just that. They're a gift. They are a gift. They're freely given to us when we seek the gifts. Now, today, I've got a little gift for Josh. So Josh is going to come up and help me to illustrate. Up you come, Josh. Don't be shy. Not that you ever are. I wonder, how do you respond to the gifts of the Spirit, okay? That's my little question. How do you respond to the gifts of the Spirit? When you hear a message in tongues, how do you respond? When you hear a word of prophecy, how do you respond? Well, I've got a wee gift for Josh today, and I want to see how he responds to my wee gift, okay? So, Josh, if you'll let me through. I have a wee gift for you. It's in here. If you would like to take that gift.
Yeah.
There you go. That's your gift today, Josh.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, he said thank you. That's good. That's a good thing to do when you get a gift, isn't it? Does it fit okay?
Yeah.
Oh, it fits okay as well. A lovely Christmas jumper. It's in the Christmas bag. I know it's a Christmas bag because it's got a Christmas tag. Okay. So here's Josh. I've given him the gift of a jumper. Have you ever been in that position sometimes where you get something at Christmas time and you go, oh no. And you just want to give the gift back? Have you ever been like that? This is Josh's lovely jumper, which I thought was going to be too big for him, but he's grown. And I sometimes think, you know, we get gifts and we go, well, do I really want that gift? Am I really interested in that? Is that something that I'd wear? Last week we talked about clothes. We talked about emulating the Holy Spirit, emulating who God is by what we wear, not physically, but by demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. And it's like that with gifts as well. We need to put them on in this case. Okay, so you can go and sit down, Josh. Thank you very much. Give him a round of applause, yes. I don't know if that jumper is something that Josh would normally wear or not. And I don't know, it fits him fine, but I thought maybe it'll be too big for him. And that would have served really well as my illustration as well, but he's grown since then, and so it fits him just fine. But sometimes, have you ever been in that place where you get something, you go, it's a wee bit big for me? Especially when you're a kid, you get something that's too big for you, but you've got to grow into it. Remember those blazers where you would have at the start of the school year, and your hands would be buried beneath the sleeves, and eventually you got to the end of the school year, and they were away up here. Do you remember that? And there's a sense in which I think God wants to give us things. He wants to give us the gifts of the Spirit. He wants to lavish those things upon us. But there's a sense in which we need to grow into the gifts as well. Do you know, we can sometimes get a bit confused with gifts as well. I've got another gift, actually. Josh, can you come back up again? I hadn't primed them for this one, but you can come up again. I've got another gift in the bag for you, Josh, if you want to just have a wee look. Okay. It's in the bag. What is it, Josh? It's a multimeter. Josh, do you know how to use that multimeter?
A decent amount.
Okay. Let me just see that. You can go and sit down again. Thank you, Josh. He's just been too smart today. The jumper fits him. He knows how to use the multimeter. It's all gone horribly wrong for me. I'm only kidding. Yeah, does anybody know what a multimeter is? No. So there's some people here who are totally bamboozled by this little device. So if I set it to V with the wee lines, I can connect this to the negative side of a battery, and then this to the positive side of a battery, and it'll tell me the voltage of the battery, okay? And it's got a wee V sign with a squiggle, which means I plug one side to the mains and the other side to the other bit of the mains, and hopefully it's insulated. And it tells us if there's voltage at the plug. This is a multimeter. If I had to gift this to some of you today, you'd probably just go, right, Bobby knows what I'm talking about. He's well acquainted with multimeters. But some of you would just go, I don't know how to use that. We need to be trained in how to use this thing before it's useful to us. And it's like that with gifts as well. The gifts of the Spirit, you know, sometimes we kind of feel, is that really what I want? You know, sometimes we might get a wee bit embarrassed with the gift. I sometimes think in the church today, there seems to be a bit of embarrassment about the gift of tongues. I don't know why. And I could talk forever about that subject because it's something that I've grown into over the years. And I heard a friend of mine say just recently, he leads a Pentecostal church, and he was just talking away and he says that they'd lost quite a lot of people. And I was like, oh, that's really sad. Why have you lost a lot of people? And he says, well, there's a lot of people who felt we were too Pentecostal. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's a Pentecostal church. How can you be too Pentecostal in a Pentecostal church? That doesn't make any sense. But that's the reality of what he's living with. And some people just felt, well, it's way too out there, you know. Maybe we get a bit embarrassed. We don't want to wear it. We don't want to be seen with that in public. And sometimes we get a gift and we're like, I don't know how to use it. But we need to grow into gifts. We need to grow into learning how to use gifts. You know, last week I talked about emulating our heroes and used a funny illustration. But the reality is that if we're going to emulate the Holy Spirit, we do that through being open to the gifts and through using the gifts for His glory. Do you know, sometimes I think it's an area we need to grow in. I remember when I was in Japan, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I began to speak in tongues, and I didn't really understand much about it. But the person gave me good advice. He said, just you keep practicing that at home. Home for me was a hotel room, an apartment in Japan at the time. But he said, when you go back to Scotland, when you go back home, find a church where you can put that into practice. And when we arrived here many, many years ago. And so at first you go, well, how do I use this gift? How do I put that into practice? But it's only by practice that we actually learn how to use the gifts that God wants to give us. And we can use them anywhere, not just in church on a Sunday. We can use them anywhere. Have you ever heard that phrase that it's more important to seek the giver than the gift? Have you heard that? We need to seek the giver and not the gift. I've heard that so many times. And I can understand why, because if all we're looking for is just a kind of weirdly happy, clappy, wonderful time, and we're not seeking God and what God wants to do in our lives, I can kind of get that. But what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1? He says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. Why does he say that? Because he recognizes that when we say something prophetic in a language that people can understand, they go, wait, I get that. I'm hearing God speaking to me. I need to pray about that. I need to do something about that. And I want to challenge us today to just think about how hungry are we? How hungry are we for the gifts of the Spirit? How hungry are we for the manifestation of the Spirit in the church? How hungry are we for the church to be living in a place of power? Are we hungry for it? Yes, some people are. Have you ever seen that episode of The Vicar of Dibley, the Christmas one? Have you seen that one where Don French gets invited to three different places for Christmas lunch? Have you seen that? Yeah? And she tries to make her excuses, but the people are so happy that she's going to arrive with them, she goes, I kind of need to go. And so she goes to the first place, and she has this massive Christmas dinner, and she has a Christmas pudding that's bigger than the one that we share between us. And she goes, oh, that's great. We'll have a good time sharing that. And then it's like, no, we've all got one each. And at the end of it, she's just absolutely stuffed full. But then she's got to go somewhere else, and she's got to begin the process all again. She says, I'm not really hungry, but, oh, well, I've spent all this time preparing this food for you. And then she sits down again, and so it goes on, and she goes to the third place, and she, and if you've seen this, there's actually a little competition at the end of the meal to say who can eat the most Brussels sprouts. Have you seen that? And there's a competition, and she feels so bad for this guy, this young lad whose dad always beats him at everything, and she's determined to have his dad not beat him at this. So the bet is that she can eat more Brussels sprouts than he does, okay? And he just, at the end of the meal, stuffs in three Brussels sprouts, and he says, I'm done. And so she gets the fourth one, and it's like she's trying to kind of fit it in. Have you seen that? And she's trying to just stuff it. It's like, see, you're wrong. You've lost. And at the end of it, she gets a taxi to go, like, 2 yards across the road because you can't walk. And I just looked at that and I thought, that's kind of like what we can be like in church. We can be so filled with other things that when it comes to the things that God wants to deposit in us, we go, I'm too full. I don't want it. I'm not interested in it. Where am I going to put that? And I want to challenge us today to think, are we really hungry for the things of God? Are we hungry for the gifts of the Spirit? I've not even begun to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. If we don't have an appetite for the things of God, I want to ask us, why not? Why not? If we don't have an appetite, if we're not hungry for the things of God, why not? There's two occasions where I know of where we're not hungry. The first is that when there's something wrong with us, when we feel unwell, and you'll know that if you've been unwell, you just go, I can't face food. Coffee and tea, I've just went off coffee and tea. You know what I'm talking about. If we're unwell, we don't want food. Or if we're full, we don't want food. The two reasons. And I think it can be like that in the church as well. If there's ill health in the church, the last thing we want is to have the Holy Spirit come in and do things amongst us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to come in and put his finger in something in our lives and say, this needs sorted out. I don't know about you, I want to be part of a healthy church. And I want to be part of a hungry church. Hungry for the things of God. Hungry for the power that God wants to give us. And I don't know how else to say this. Our world that we live in today, our country today, needs to see the power of God at work in the church. We need to be clear about what we believe. We need to stick to our guns about what we believe. But we need to see the power of God demonstrated in the church. Because what happens is that people look at the church and they go, do you know, that's of no interest to me. I don't mean to be disrespectful to those who have got grey hairs, okay? Because I've got them too. And this side, okay? I'll give you my best side, which is both sides. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but some people, their view of the church is that it's just full of old people with grey hair, and they sing some songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know. Or all things bright and beautiful. Nothing wrong with those songs. But people have a view of the church today that it's a powerless church. That it's full of people who are old. And that it's not really going anywhere. That's the view that people have of church. And then sometimes people come in to a church where it's not like that. And they think you're crazy. So you can't win. But I think today our society needs to see a church that is moving in power. That's what our society needs to see. Our society doesn't need to see people who are compromising left, right, and centre and don't know what they believe. Our society needs to see a church who knows what they believe and who are prepared to share what they believe and who are prepared to demonstrate what they believe through signs and wonders, through acts of power. I've not even got to the rest of my message, but I'm not going to go there now, okay? Because I think I've said enough for today. I think what has been said today now is enough. Faith. Faith that moves mountains. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I felt, as we started our service today, as we were worshiping, there are people who need to call out to God for the gift of faith today. We've heard about the things that were shared at conference. We've heard about the opportunity to pray. We've heard about the opportunity to receive what God wants to give us. We've heard about not being so over-hungry that we're not ready for what God wants to give us. So many things said in this place today already, and I'm going to stop, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask that we stand, if you're able to. We don't normally do this at the end of the service, but if you're able to stand, then please stand. And if you're at home watching online, even if you're watching this recording later on, then I invite you to stand where you are in your home as well. And I know I did this during that little moment earlier in the service where we talked about the gift of faith and people who need to receive. If you're hungry today, then what I'm going to invite you to do, and there's no pressure and no obligation to do this, and I'm just going to ask that every eye is closed while we do this. If you want to receive more of who God is, then I'm just asking that you do a simple thing. It's a step of faith, and it doesn't take a lot to do it, but it's just a symbol of your hunger for God. And that is just that you stretch out your hands in front of you as if you're going to receive a present and just ask God to come and to deposit in your life the things which you need in your life. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer today as well. Father, we just ask that you would come and that you'd fill our hands and that you would fill our hearts. Father, I pray for a hungry church. Father, I pray for a powerful church. Father, I pray for a church that demonstrates your presence on this earth. Father, it was shared in that video. I think it was John who shared it, that we would see the demonstration of your kingdom here on earth, heaven's kingdom being demonstrated here on earth. Father, we've prayed that so many times. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we ask that you would come and that you'd fill us, that you'd fill a hungry church. And Father, that as we go into this week, Lord, may you put a hunger within us to seek you and to seek you with all our heart. Because Father, your word says that if we seek, we will find. We have to keep seeking, seek and keep on seeking. Father, your word says that if we ask and keep on asking, it will be given to us. Father, if we knock and keep on knocking, the door will be opened to us. And Father, we're asking that you would come and that you would meet with us. And Father, I just think of the words of that song. We've sang it so many times over the last number of years in the church. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? Father, that's my confession today in front of the church and in front of whoever could be watching online. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? Oh, Father, we're not enough unless you come. Holy Spirit, we're not enough unless you come and fill your church and empower your church. And so, Father, I pray that there'd be a real visible shift in the tide. And, Father, what you're doing in our nation. Holy Spirit, we pray, come. And may there be that tide of your presence that would lift us from the mud, that would lift us from where we're stuck. And, Father, begin to elevate us into all that you have for us. And so, Father, that was our cry today, that you would elevate us, Father, that we would be lifted on the tide of what you're doing. And, Father, that you would do something fresh in your church. Lord, you're already doing it. And, Father, I really believe, and I shared this last week, that the miracle's already happening. And, Father, that it's all happening upstream. Father, there are things which are happening just now in the heavenlies. And, Father, where you want to burst in and break through. And, Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to represent West Lothian in that video. Father, with the five sisters there in the background. And, Father, my prayer is that you would do something in West Lothian. Father, something fresh in this county which you've called us to minister in, to witness in and to be part of. And, Father, we're praying that your Spirit would come upon your church. Father, all denominations, all walks. Father, we pray that your Spirit would come upon your church. And, Father, that you'd move in power and that there'd just be that visible, tangible demonstration of the Spirit's presence in your church. Father, we pray that it wouldn't just be limited to the church building, to gatherings, but Father, that you would do something, Father, where the river of your presence would flow. Just this week as I was praying, I had a picture of the church building, and the front door was open, and there was a river flowing out from the church, and it was flowing down the path there, towards Croft Malloch Primary School. There's just this river coming out from the church. And Father, we pray that you do something that would be uncontainable. Father, something that would pour out from us into the community that we represent, the communities that we represent. Father, that you do something in us, in our homes, in the streets where you've placed us. And Father, that there would be that presence of the Spirit that would come out. And so, Father, we ask that you would lead us in these things. Father, we can only come to you. We can't do these things on our own. Father, there are things that you've given us. There are talents and gifts and strengths and skills that you've given us. Father, things that are within us. But Lord, we're praying for that which is out with us to flow through us. Father, that can only be attributed to you, that you might get the glory. And Father, that's our prayer today, that you would get the glory. Father, protect our hearts. Lord, may we never be swelled up with pride, but Father, in humility to walk before you. And Father, I just think of those words. What does the Lord require of us? But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And Father, you tell us in your word to humble ourselves and to seek your face and to pray. Father, you tell us that when we're living together in unity, there you command a blessing. And so, Father, we pray, do something fresh and new in your church. Father, fit us for the purposes that you have for us. Lord, I believe, as Kay said in that video, the best days of the church are ahead. And so, Father, we pray, lead us into these things. Take us deeper into what you have for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you, and may you have an incredible week, and may you begin to see God move in your life in a fresh way. In Jesus' name.